Welcome to the Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Are you a small business owner who thinks they pay too much in taxes? We can help. Give us a call or book a meeting by clicking the link in the show notes to book a free financial consultation so you can have peace of mind about your financial future. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as a key to unlock your workforce. I'm your host, Robin Bailey, here on my favorite day of the week podcast Friday with my co-host, Al McDonald. Al, what are you saying this fine Friday?
Well, I concur wholeheartedly, Robin, a favorite day. And today I'm looking forward to this podcast being twice as good as usual because we have two guests.
Twice as good.
Yeah.
Yes, twice as good. You're right. I've said it before, one of the side effects of this podcast that I didn't realize that was going to happen in the beginning was getting introductions to awesome people. So with no further ado, our guests today are Matt Hibbard, who is the CEO, and Megan Reeser, who is the COO from Cameo Care. And what or who is Cameo Care, you ask? Well, we're about to find out, my friends. Matt, Megan, welcome to the pod.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, good to have you both here. One of the things that Al and I pride ourselves on with the podcast is not only speaking with really cool, interesting, fun people, like I'm sure you both are, but in particular, when there's something cutting edge going on in the benefits industry or in the financial services world, we certainly like being the ones who bring it to our clients. So with that said, let's dive into it. Can we start at the very beginning? What is Cameo Care? Where did it come from? Can you take us on this journey from the very beginnings and to where we are today?
For sure. So high level, Cameo Care basically provides on-site dental care for businesses. And to even take you further back from there, where it all started. So I grew up in Toronto, went to McGill. Career started off working in Toronto for various tech startups, one of which brought me down to New York and then eventually got in the world of crypto back in 2017, moved out to SF for that. And at the time, my wife owned a production company. And as the pandemic came around, all that production ground to a halt. And we saw an opportunity to help them get back on their feet. And so we actually set up an on-site mobile testing and diagnostic operation for the film production. Started off in LA. Our first client was fortunate enough to be Netflix. And from there, it very quickly snowballed, working with Disney, Amazon, Apple, all the big studios. And again, it started off in LA, and then very quickly we grew to have 14 offices across the country and over 300 team members working with us. And that's kind of where we started working with Meg as we looked to expand into Canada. And at the same time, we also knew that the pandemic was going to come to an end eventually. And so we're looking at different alternative pivot options. And as we were working with our clients, we knew we wanted to stay in on-site care, and we were working with our clients to understand where the different opportunities lie there. And we sort of honed in on the fact that there was an exciting opportunity, especially up in Canada, in the dental space, which worked well for myself and our family because we come from a dental background, and that's kind of where Meg came in.
When you're chatting about production, you're bringing back very fond memories of when I just finished university and I wasn't quite ready to dive into the exciting world of insurance. I was an extra. And so I was on several Canadian TV shows, quite a few movies. It was such a fun time. So you bring up some good memories. But I do want to dive into, I'm curious about someone like yourself, about, hey, here's what happened. Here's what we were doing. Pandemic hits. We pivot. Where do those ideas come from? Like, how do you generate those ideas to say, hey, I'm going to go do this now?
Well, I think kind of giving even a little more color to the story. So when Matt approached me, my background's all in retail. So I've been in retail for, you know, over 15 years. The pandemic hit and the organization that I was working with, immediately 1,000 people gone overnight. And I'm one of the handful of people who are left to kind of sunset that business. And so at the time, everyone is now going out and looking for new jobs and all of that. And I actually went the entrepreneurial route and I sort of pulled all of my skill sets that I've amassed at these really large and complex retailers as a people leader. And I started working with different clients and hypergrowth startups to build their go-to-market strategy. And so then when Matt approached me, originally it was about leading the expansion into Canada. But Canada, while we were a lot stricter during the pandemic in a lot of ways, we were a lot quicker to come out of our mandates from a union perspective and from a corporate perspective when it came to COVID testing and diagnostics. And so I very quickly realized that my role was going to pivot from being the leader of the expansion geographically to being the leader of our service expansion, because we knew the US was going to follow suit pretty quickly after. And so for us, we surveyed our clients. We wanted to understand what other on-site services would drive real value for them from a partnership perspective. And we kept landing on dental. You know, everybody needs dental work, like across the board. And dental for us, so Matt and I are actually siblings. And we come from a really long line of dental professionals. So our grandmother is a dental specialist, our dad is, several of our aunts are, our sister is, and our chief dental officer is an endodontist, and he's also our brother-in-law. So we have a huge line of generational tenure that we're pulling on in this industry, combined with our collective business experience. And that's how we kind of landed on this idea of being the kind of premier provider for on-site dental services in Canada.
Megan, did you feel it was something that you could really sink your teeth into at the time?
I'm sorry, I had to. sorry. I'm here all week. No, but in all seriousness, I do want to dig into something that you said, because you talked about bringing your skill set from retail. And it's interesting, about 10 years ago, I met a lady who came from Abercrombie, and she had come into the insurance industry, and I got to work with her. And to this day, she's one of the most successful account executives at this particular company. She's been at two that I've worked with her. Incredibly successful. So I wanted to dig in a little bit about, what do you think it is from the retail experience, that skill set you've been able to bring to create success at Cameo Care?
Yeah, so I have worked, you know, in multiple facets of the retail landscape. So I'm an omni-channel retailer. I've done everything from leading field teams in multiple locations against multiple deliverables. And I've been able to kind of translate that skill set, because in this on-site environment, we're a unique team in that we're remote, but we're not remote. Like, most of our team is remote, and all of our hygienists and our dental practitioners, they operate in different offices, right? So I'm managing a really complex landscape in that way, from an operational perspective and a logistics perspective, to be able to fulfill and deliver on our promise for our partners. And so that's kind of how I pull on that retail complexity and experience that I've had in managing multiple channels.
I wanted to go back a little bit, although it'll build on your answer that you just gave, Matt, to what you were talking about at the very beginning. And I just want to maybe dive into a little bit about, you said you expanded rapidly, opened up a number of offices across the country, and then we're expanding in Canada, all in a pretty short period of time by the sounds of it. Can you talk maybe a little bit about some of the unique challenges that that brings, like just that rapid opening up offices quickly all across the country? That's got to lead to some real challenges, I would think.
Yeah, it was actually pretty crazy how fast we expanded, went from having one employee to 300 in 2 years. And so I think like the biggest, like obviously there's all the different operational challenges that come with that when you're expanding from a healthcare perspective, there's licensing, getting all the administrative stuff set up. But like the biggest thing is around team. And when you're expanding that quickly, and when you're delivering a service like what we're doing, and whether it be on-site testing, diagnostics, or dental care, team is the most important thing. They're your front line. They're the people that your partners and your client and patients interact with on a daily basis. And so you really have to be making sure that you're really investing a lot in hiring and training and onboarding the right people, because they're ultimately the face of your organization. And so like we really had a very rigorous hiring process around hiring amazing, smart, kind, high energy people that show up every day with a smile on their face, even if it's hidden behind a dental mask, for example. And then the other thing was really around, like, I'd say the importance of really creating like a strong culture. And so the big thing that we were focusing on from a culture perspective is like, number one is customer service. And number two is feedback and continuous improvement. So from a customer service perspective, like, again, we're providing a very white glove service. And so you have to instill that from day one. And so your hiring process, training, onboarding, weekly meetings, everything needs to revolve around that. And you need to really be rewarding people who go above and beyond in that capacity. And then the biggest thing is when you're expanding really quickly like that, and in any situation, really, like you need to have a culture of feedback and improvement. So things don't always go the way they should. In fact, a lot of the time they don't. And so you need to have contingency plans, but you also need to be okay with things going wrong and making sure that you take those mistakes, internalize them, learn from them, and move forward. And so we have systems in place where our teams, our patients, our partners can be delivering feedback, and we encourage them to do so that we can take those, put in place remedies to whatever problems that they may have, and then so we can improve moving forward. Because like when we first started, we were very small fish against a lot of very large, well-funded companies. We were a bootstrap company. And the way that we went above and beyond and did it was just by having a team that people loved working with. 90% of our business was referrals. And then also having a culture of like feedback and improvement. So when our partners see something go wrong, they can come to us and know that we're going to actually internalize that and fix the problem and improve moving forward. And it's hard to do that when you're a huge organization with 10,000 people.
And Megan, I'd love to hear your input on that too.
Yeah. So I think for me, because I kind of came into the game a little bit later, so I came into the picture, you know, 2.5 years later, as we were kind of coming out of this huge growth spurt and tried to figure out how are we going to continue and sustain this. So for us, when I brought in, and originally my mandate was to figure out, you know, how we can set up shop in Canada. We had a lot of partners who had Canadian operations, but because the regulations and the union restrictions and all of those things were so different. For me, it was about how do I continue to sustain a business when I know we don't have the runway here in Canada. And so I know that runway is coming to an end there in the US. And so for me, it was really about how am I going to pivot our service offering and take what we built with our partners and with our employees and make it so that we can transition it into something new that will sustain beyond the length of the pandemic. That's kind of like the biggest challenge. And that's what we've solved essentially now.
So Matt, you talked about your culture and your recruiting and your screening and trying to look for the right people and the right fit and the feedback and all that kind of stuff. And as successful as it sounds like you have been, I'm sure you must have encountered some, you alluded to it, things don't always work out as well as you hope. How did you go about maybe identifying quickly the people who didn't match up with what your ideal was? And hey, you know, we're expanding, we want to continue to build, but this isn't just working so well. So
to be honest with you, it was a learning curve. And so like in the early days, I think that we were a lot slower to make the necessary like moves that we needed to make in order to either potentially like remove that person from the team. And then as things got bigger and we put in place like a pretty clear process and sort of like our performance improvement plans and so on and so forth, so that when we knew after the first like month or two, when someone's still sort of in that like probationary period, if they were not going to work. And then if we continue working with them and the things go wrong, then we need to put in place a clear process to either help improve that person. And that involves a lot of training and so on and so forth, or move towards making a hard decision to part ways with that person if it wasn't mutually working out. And so there was a lot of cases where we were able to sort of identify someone who was struggling, and maybe it was because of a lack of managerial oversight or training, and improve that person, get them on the right path, and then they grow and flourish at the company. But then there's also unfortunate situations where it just wasn't the right fit, so we had to part ways.
Yeah, I can appreciate it. Thanks for sharing, because I can imagine that that would be a big challenge for anyone, any company that's trying to expand quickly and countrywide, and it'd be a problem you'd always be running into.
It really is. Yeah. Especially when you're working in 14 different locations and you don't have executives in all those different locations, and it's in the middle of the pandemic, so it's harder to travel and so on and so forth. So you need to have that, like, in the biggest way that we would find out about a lot of this stuff is through those sort of feedback loops. So we'd be having regular meetings with the rest of the team and our partners and whatnot. And so when we sort of identified something that wasn't necessarily going well, where maybe it was our partner giving us that feedback, and then we were able to move pretty quick on that.
Yeah, and I think even just to piggyback off of that a little bit, Matt's an amazing people leader, and he really understands that, you know, one lemon can sour the whole batch, and he's really good at being able to identify that. But it's really that culture of continuous feedback is so core at what we do here at Cameo. And it's actually in 2021, we won Inc's Best in Business Award from Inc's Magazine. especially because of that, you know, especially because of that culture that we've created where we're constantly iterating and bettering ourselves.
I'm really impressed, and I'm going to steal this, that you referred to maybe people who aren't such a great fit as a lemon that can spoil the rest. Because I've heard it, and I'm sure if I said it, you would know, and it's such an awful way to describe something. But, you know, someone who just doesn't quite fit in the organization. And it's a terrible word that people use, but to get the point across. So I like the lemon analogy. That's great. Megan, this one's over to you, because I'm curious. And I had a chat with quite a few people, clients, people that I work with, that your team was coming on. And our audience is primarily made up of C-suite business owners, chief people officers, CHROs, that sort of thing. And one of the things that, again, was surprising to us when we had the podcast, they enjoyed hearing from folks like you, you know, what's going on? What's the pulse of the industry? What's interesting out there? Because everyone's fighting for employees. If someone is listening, can you maybe just talk through how you work with organizations, what benefits it provides to them, why they should entertain having a conversation with Cameo Care?
There's a number of benefits we provide for organizations, but kind of for me, there's two overarching benefits that we provide or themes. So number one is promoting a culture of wellness. And number two would be elevating your employer brand. Both of those things you'll hear a lot. I feel like those are buzzwords in the industry right now, but how we support them. So first, to kind of back it up, what does promoting a culture of wellness mean? Like, what does that mean for you, Robin, if I were to ask you that?
My standpoint has always been, I want people to know that we care about them, that we care about their healthcare, that we care about their overall wellness, that they feel comfortable showing up as they are at work. In fact, we had a great podcast a couple of weeks ago with Corey Chadwick from the Mental Gym. Mm-hmm. And we're having subsequent conversations with him. Al and I have had this conversation on many, many drives. And we said, you know, especially through the pandemic, you cannot tell me that you weren't affected in some way, your own mental health, and had challenges. Everyone has. That's a small component of wellness I know that I'm speaking about. But again, it comes back to employees knowing we're there to support them. We're there to help them live healthy, happy lives and accomplish those goals. So, I mean, I think for me, that would encompass overall wellness. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on it too.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, promoting a culture of wellness means promoting physical, emotional, and mental well-being. But how do you do that? If you go on any company's website, you're going to find some verbiage about wellness strategies or benefits that they provide their employees. But really what it means to me is that you have to show up and embody it by providing services that actually benefit your employees and help them create those healthy habits. Because promoting a culture of wellness to me is creating healthy habits. And so what on earth does everybody need? What on earth is it that every employee needs and needs to do every 6 months? And that's dental care. And so it's an essential part of your overall well-being, and offering services like that on site is promoting your staff's well-being. And the reality is, though, a lot of people don't go to the dentist. So we're trying to bridge that gap and make it so that it's more convenient and more flexible. And then the second part of that answer I was going to give that leads into this is employer brand. So this is a fantastic service to bolster your employer brand and to utilize for talent acquisition and for retention. So for all those HR leaders and the talent acquisition people that are listening, you know, being able to promote this on your career site or in your job ads, it's a major differentiator. And it really shows that you're demonstrating that your organization doesn't just promote it, but also prioritizes it.
And even to build on that for a second, when I first started off down this road, I didn't fully realize the gravity of like the mouth-body connection from a health perspective and just like the impact that your oral health can have on the rest of your health. For example, like a stat that stood out to me was that 7 out of 10 people will develop gum disease in their lifetime, which is a lot. And developing gum disease actually doubles your risk of having heart disease, strokes, or diabetes. And that's kind of part of the reason why we have an endodontist on our team as well. He sees exactly what happens when you don't prioritize preventative dental care. They end up with a bigger issue down the line and you end up having to be out of the office for longer and so on and so forth. And so like, even to build on what Megan was saying, like another thing we see as a benefit is reducing absenteeism by frequent dental care to prevent bigger issues from happening. And even like furthermore, like when you're an employee in an office, you book a dental appointment every 6 months, say it's at 10:30 in the morning, you end up kind of taking half a day off. You end up having to spend a couple hours driving, waiting, so on and so forth. And so that's 3 or 4 hours out of your day. Think about that twice a year. That's 6 to 8 hours a year. And so by having this service on site, it can significantly reduce the amount of time that people have to spend away from the office. So they're more productive, and then they can take time off to do things that they actually want to do, or be with the family or whatnot.
Well, Matt, you're exactly right. And an example I had of something similar would be, we introduced a virtual healthcare platform into our benefits package probably 2 years ago now, Al. And I remember I'm supposed to be on a flight the very next morning. Sorry, it was the next night, because I was flying to Europe. And I'm going on a walk. This is summertime. And I go to close the door and I feel a sting. And my wife says, oh, do you want to go back in and, you know, take a Benadryl or whatever it was? Because it was a wasp sting. And me being the tough guy that I am, of course, and we're just going to leave it. And I went to bed that night and my finger had started turning black and blue and was swelling up. And I was supposed to get on a flight that day, that night. And to your point, I was working that day. Don't really have time to, you know, go to the walk-in or try to get an appointment with my doctor. I hop online, do virtual care. The doctor and I have a good chuckle about what happened, and me being a tough guy, of course. And then I get my meds. And that was in the virtual space. So I can only imagine if there was something on site, how convenient that would be. And then Megan, to your point, when I am looking at acquiring a new client and I'm bidding on their business, I will go onto their career page. I will go onto the website and see what they're offering, because that tells me a lot about the type of company it is. And I think you're right. That's going to differentiate a lot of people if there's something like this, because you are demonstrating that, hey, we really do care about your wellness, as well as respecting your time and making it a little more convenient to do those things that keep us all healthy. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
Megan, I'll build a little bit too on what you just said about taking time off, or maybe it was Matt, so one of you said, you know, taking half a day off or whatever the case may be. And when you're maybe the owner of the business, but when you have a car, when you have a regular dentist that you go to, it is just kind of a habit to go every 6 months. But further to your point, not just taking the time off, but what if you don't have a car? What if it means like a couple of hour bus rides? What if you don't have a regular dentist? All those things that might prevent. And when you're not in that situation, you don't necessarily think about it, right? But when you are in that situation, the furthest thing from your mind is, hey, I'm going to take half a day just to go and see the dentist. That I'm fine.
Totally. Yeah.
Exactly.
Can you talk a little bit about, Matt, Megan, I'll throw this out to either one of you, looking ahead, what do you see? How do you envision the future for Cameo Care? Where do you see it going?
So our goal is really to help companies create healthier, more productive workforces by really giving them and their teams easy access to dental care. And eventually we want to expand that to other forms of healthcare. And so really the first step for us is dental. We're starting off in Ontario and then looking to expand across the country so that we can more effectively service companies that have presences in places that are not just Ontario. And then the next step is really starting to introduce other services, think optometry, ortho, et cetera, so that once we sort of have a foothold in with the company, we can open the door to offering them other services in the same sort of footprint that we have from the dental office there. And so what we basically want to do is grow into becoming sort of this holistic one-stop shop for on-site health services for companies in Canada.
He answered that exactly how I'd answer it.
I was waiting for Megan there, because Megan usually has something to add, but
like I have so many things I could add. But yeah, really our goal is to kind of like grow deeper with our partners and be able to service them in multiple capacities. So we work really closely with our partners in making sure that before we deploy anything dental or anything beyond that, that we're surveying their employees to make sure this is what they want and this is what they need. And we tailor all of our solutions to make sure that they're customized to support our partners in achieving their wellness goals.
You two have left so many clues already, but I'm going to ask for one more, because there's a lot of young entrepreneurs who listen to this show as well. Either of you, doesn't matter, or both of you, what are some of the key lessons you've learned along the way? Because I'm sure there's been some learnings there as well.
For mine will be a little bit of a personal one. So I find work-life balance really hard. I know a lot of people do. I'm a working mom and I have 3 kids, and I find it really difficult to do everything that I want to do. But I also find it difficult to do all the things that I have to do, like sleeping or going to the dentist, because who has time for any of these things when you have 3 kids and you work? But when I take time off, I want it to be to spend time with my family, not to sit in a dental chair. But it's actually now as a mom that I've realized how important it is for me to take care of my personal and healthcare, because, you know, becoming a mother showed me just how important the connection is between so many different parts of our body. And so for me, going to the dentist has actually become really important in my health journey. But it's something that wasn't always the case. And it's hard for me to admit that. Very recently, I had my first cavity. And it was horrible for me to say that as someone who comes from such a long line of dental practitioners. But it's because I have been prioritizing my dental health that I was able to catch it so early, and I didn't end up in Dr. Ionescu's chair at the endodontist having a root canal. But a few years ago, if this happened, that would not have been the case, because what really brings me back to every time I go and see my doctor, she always says, you know, I just got to ask, but have you been to see the dentist? Because, you know, the cobbler's kids don't always wear shoes. And so, like, that was me. I was the orthodontist child who was not prioritizing dental health. So I was the cobbler's kids not wearing shoes. But a few years ago, it would have been a different story. But now I'm able to kind of take control of my health and overcome those obstacles that are constantly in my way from a time constraint perspective. So really, how am I overcoming that is I'm going to the dentist every 6 months, but I'm also helping create the solution that will make it hopefully more commonplace for organizations to offer accessibility to dental care and health services on site where we're already spending 40 hours of our work week.
I would say, just like, as you mentioned, for other entrepreneurs out there, like, the biggest lesson that I've learned has really been around the importance of team. You can't do everything yourself, and creating the best team is like the most important thing. And so we're a bootstrap business. We didn't take on investment. So we weren't out there hiring sort of Ivy League MBAs because we couldn't afford to do so. And so we were really fortunate to find like amazing people that we worked with and worked with for the majority of the time with Cameo. And we were able to, like, one of the things that I really did not like about sort of some other jobs that I've worked with, like, for example, my first job out of college was actually working as an analyst at Target when they came into Canada for that short spat. And one of the things that really annoyed me was that you could be the hardest working person in the room and do everything right, and they wouldn't promote you for 2 years because they had a very strict 2-year policy. And that was frustrating. So one of the things that we did was, like, we're doing away with that. And so when we found people that were awesome, we would very quickly promote them to having more responsibility. And so then it really motivated them because they could see their peers rising through the ranks, like, really quickly. And so it just further helped create this culture where people were really working hard and being able to get, like, amazing work experience. And I see so many of the different team members we worked with, and they're in awesome places now. And I think that they learned a lot and were able to gain a ton of experience quickly and then are in various roles. And so it's a team really is everything.
Isn't it amazing, Matt, when you find those amazing people and you promote quickly and give them opportunity, how they step up to the plate?
100%.
Because we've done that within our organization as well. And I'm just continually blown away about just give those great people opportunities and responsibility and just watch them flourish. They just do so well. We have arrived. You both gave great answers, and you've left a lot of clues for our listeners. And to me, your answers have already answered, partially at least, Al's signature question. But if you're okay with it, I'd love for Al to ask it anyway, because maybe there's more to the story. But again, you've already proven to me you're doing a lot of this already. But Al, if you'd take it away.
There's always more, isn't there? A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you maybe talk about any of those proverbial trees that you might be planting?
Yeah, well, to kind of piggyback off of what I just said there about, you know, prioritizing that work-life balance and being able to offer services like that on site, I do not work at a large corporate organization of, you know, 1,000 employees where I'm going to be able to enjoy the benefits of the services that we're creating. But we're creating them because we really see a need. You know, Matt said 7 out of 10 people will develop gum disease. We have an awesome slide in our deck that shows the host of issues that are connected and start at the mouth, you know? And so for us, we started this journey because we wanted to make a difference in people's lives and to help better the health of the population in general, because those stats are not just people over the age of 65. These are like 35-year-olds who are never going to see the dentist. that 35 and under category, it's about 75% of people avoid the dentist altogether. So it's pretty staggering to see the numbers. So really the proverbial trees we're planting is creating services that are going to meet people where they're at so that they can take advantage of preventive care to avoid larger issues down the line, heart disease. We do oral cancer screenings, things like that, that we can detect early to help prevent serious long-term issues. But I think the proverbial trees that we are planting is that I don't expect to sit in the shade of the tree that is helping me in the workplace take advantage of these. But I'm hopeful that we're kind of paving the way for this to be more commonplace for future generations, you know, so that people can access healthcare services more easily.
Matt, I certainly want to hear from you, but just what you said, Megan, that statistic is staggering. Like that many people in that age group wouldn't go see a dentist. So Matt, you're up.
For sure. So when I think about sort of these proverbial trees, I'll sort of fast forward sort of 50, 100 years. Like I think that what you're going to end up seeing and what we're trying to do is like just change the way that like the dental's delivered and then eventually other things. And so I think that in the not too distant future, you're going to see, and it's already started to happen in the US more so than in Canada. And the US is sort of seen as being sort of 5 to 10 years ahead of Canada in the world of dentistry and in many other ways. But you're going to see a lot more access to healthcare services at work. And then I think even to take it a step further, like it'll be a combination of virtual, which we're already seeing, services like dental, which aren't as virtual. And then eventually it'll be, you'll have like a booth type situation at work where you walk in there, you sit down, it's able to diagnose you. It's all happened completely automated. And so I think that like we're just at the sort of spearhead of changing the way that dental is delivered in Canada and then hopefully other services. But I think in the long term, it's going to be very different than what it is now.
Thank you. That is both awesome answers. And again, Robin already said it, but I think you both left a lot of clues today and it's been a great having this chat.
Yeah, it's been really a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us today and thanks for sharing your journey. What's the best way for people to reach out to you if they have questions about yourself or what you're doing at Cameo Care?
Yeah, please feel free to reach out directly. You can find me at Megan, M-E-G-H-A-N, at CameoCare, Cameo with a K, .com, or you can visit CameoCare.com as well.
All right, that's perfect. And for Matt?
Yeah, likewise. So Matt@CameoCare.com. And yeah, please reach out.
Wonderful. All right. That does it for today's episode. We really enjoyed this conversation. As always, we hope you did too. If you have any questions for Al or myself, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. And as we saw here today, success leads clues, my friends.